This is Katie Stickle interviewing Lisa Lamphere for the Southwest Virginia LGBTQ Plus History Project. We are at the Williamson Road Public Library on July 17th, 2023. Lisa, can you tell me about where you grew up?
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
What was your early childhood like?
I don't know. I wouldn't know how to describe it.
Have any siblings?
Yeah. I have had a sister and two brothers.
As you were growing up, when do you think you first realized that you were gay?
Oh, probably around the age of 10. I officially came out when I was 13. I think that's when a lot of people come out, is right around 13. It's when the other girls are noticing boys and I'm noticing the girls. I started really struggling with my feelings around the age of 12, but 13 I knew it. I was just like, okay, that's who I am.
Did you come out to yourself, or did you immediately also come out to other people?
Well, it's hard to remember. It sort of happened gradually. There were kids at school that were teasing me and calling me a lesbian, and one day I just said, yep. At which point I met the other kids that were lesbians and started going steady with Frankie. And we would kiss in the hallway just to upset people. And it's funny, too, because we didn't really talk about being gay, but we all sat at the same lunch table. I don't know, it was funny. I mean, we were kids, you know. It's like nobody took us seriously. But there was this one boy, Lenny, that, you know, I was pretty good friends with. He sat at the lunch table. And years and years later, I ran into him, and he was just like this tall, beautiful, gay guy.
When did you end up leaving Boston?
Well, let me see. I left and came back. I came back to Boston a couple of times. I left home when I was 15 and I went to New York City. I was essentially kicked out for being gay. So I went to New York City, figured that was the place to go, but I didn't stay there. I ended up going on to Providence, Rhode Island, where I lived for about a year. And then I came back up to Boston. And I was back in Boston for about a year. And then I went out to Iowa City. And I went from Iowa City up to San Francisco, back to Iowa City, then to Des Moines, and from Des Moines back to San Francisco, and then from San Francisco back to Boston. And then from Boston to here, and this was the last stop. I was 24. I was 15 when all that started. I was 24 when I moved to Roanoke.
And you were able to find community, other lesbians in all of those places?
Yes. Yes. Everywhere I went, there were huge, tight-knit, friendly lesbian communities, much friendlier than they are now. No, seriously, I went to Des Moines, and I did not know a soul there. But I decided I was in Iowa City, and I decided I wanted to be in a bigger city, so I just packed up and went to Des Moines. Did not know one person there. Found the club, walked into the club, a woman came up to me and said, "You're new here." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Let me introduce you around." And I mean, instantly, I had a community, I had friends.
What brought you to Roanoke?
Well, the girlfriend I had at the time was from Virginia. She was from Norton, Virginia. And she was kind of wanting to come back here to be closer to her family. But I was the one that was really pushing for the move. I was looking for, you know, get out of Boston, find some other place. I wanted to buy a house and, you know, things that I wasn't going to be able to do up there. So we actually came down here and investigated Roanoke a couple years before we moved here. So that would have been, we moved here in 81, so that would have been late 70s. And we weren't here long enough to really find the lesbian community or anything. But we did things like, I went to the YWCA of all places and asked them, where are the lesbians? And they said, "Oh, well, there's these couple clubs down here." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And we checked Gay as Guide. You know, back then there were lots of periodicals and stuff that kind of networked people together. So we knew it would be okay here.
Do you remember what those clubs were that they directed you to?
No. By the time we came down here, the park was booming. Mm-hmm.
And you...
I think they said the last straw and another one, but I don't remember anymore.
And when you arrived here, like, permanently in 81, where did you go looking for community and lesbians?
The park. Yeah, we went to the park. We weren't there a lot because we were in a little monogamous couple and she didn't want us to have friends because friends make you break up. And but whenever, like, we would have visitors come, we had friends that would come visit us, we'd all go to the park as a group. But it wasn't really till we split up that, you know, we started really connecting with other with community. And so we started going to the park and going to First Friday and meeting other people.
Where do you think most of your community really came from? Like, where do you feel like you met the most friends?
Park.
And do you have any particular stories from those friends from the club that you remember?
Well, I feel funny telling these stories. There used to be an older crowd of women that hung out at back streets. I remember that. And I went in there one day and got a cup of coffee. I didn't drink. I quit drinking when I was 20. I'd been in the club since I was 15. I needed to quit drinking. So I was sitting at the bar with my little cup of coffee, and Big Ann was hanging out with this group of older women. She was younger than them. She was late 30s, I believe. And this was summer of 83. Anyway, she came over and started talking. And at some point she said, "So, you got a butch?" And I said, "No." And she said, "You do now." And I was like, thinking, okay. But she wasn't really the one I wanted. But she claimed me. So she went around and, you don't touch that one, that one's fine. So, yeah, that's what dating looked like 40 years ago.
Do you feel like that was a lot of your dating experience?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You just, you know, ran off the other five. And you gotta kind of picture this. I was in my 20s. I was drop-dead gorgeous. You know, I'd go into the club and all the heads would turn. And, you know, I don't miss that. But because, it attracted... is not a nice thing to say, but it attracted all the assholes, you know, the ones that wanted the pretty girl. And I loved Big Ann, I did. I loved her. And I miss her a lot. She died 15 years ago. But yeah, we practically, and she was the bouncer at the park. I forgot that part. She was the bouncer at the park. She was a really good bouncer because she was crazy. Some guy pulled a gun and she said, "You better hope that thing is made of chocolate because it'll make you eat it." But, yeah, back then in 83, I practically lived at the club. I was there all the time. I loved to dance. And a couple of years later, I got with Nancy. I met her at the club. She was a one-night stand that got out of hand. I was living in my own place and really not wanting to get into another relationship. But I had brought Nancy home. I had done that a couple times before, and she'd always got up and left. And this time she was like, "So, want to go to K&W flea market?" And the next thing I knew, you know, we're buying a house, and she was a bit of a social bunny, and we were... Let's see, we were together for 6 years. We were socializing, I counted it one time, we were socializing with 15 other couples and an assortment of singles. And nobody stayed single very long. And it was, you know, the couples all didn't necessarily know each other. But I mean, we knew a lot of people. I look back now and I just think, wow.
Do you feel like that group of people congregated at your place? Were there other places that you spent a lot of time with that group?
We kind of went to each other's homes. It's kind of like what couples did, you know, couples that socialized with couples, and we'd have cookouts and Super Bowl parties and what have you. And like some of the couples we'd met at the club, some of them... we just met through other people, or Nancy met them at work. Some of them we met at First Friday. And I don't know what else to say about that.
Your wedding at the park.
Oh.
Do you want to talk about that?
Okay. Big Ann and I got married. We had like a wedding, and we had an Episcopal priest at the wedding that married us, and Dale let us use the bar. Like before hours, and we had this beautiful wedding, and that marriage didn't last very long. I had to leave.
Um, Was that the ceremony itself? Was it in like the bar or the basement of the bar?
No, it was in the bar.
The bar. What year?
84.
84.
Yeah. Or it might have been 83. No, it was 84. Yeah. I can't remember the exact date anymore, but it was in 84.
And then, I mean, also in the 80s, First Friday was active. And you did some things with them. About how frequently do you feel like you went to those events?
Well, they had like a once a month mm-hmm. thing. And I usually went, not always, but I usually went. And I went to the retreat every year.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular stories that you would like to share from those events?
I can't think of anything.
All right. And then First Friday stopped at the end of the 80s-ish. Do you remember what that was like? The end of that organization?
No, not really, because it seemed like it had just kind of fizzled out. I was disappointed when they stopped having the retreat and when there was no more newsletter. But my life had completely changed by then, so I wasn't really that involved in First Friday anymore.
Mm-hmm. When you say your life had completely changed, what
well,
do you mean
Nancy
by that?
And I split up, and I went and bought my own house, and where I'm still living for the past, it's been the past 31 years. And you know, once I was like no longer part of this couple, I wasn't really part of that whole social scene either. So, you know, I was kind of starting over from scratch.
Mm-hmm. In starting over, how did you find new people?
Same way I found them before, go to the club.
Back to the club.
Yeah.
And you were able to find more community, new people?
Yeah. Yeah. And there were always new people, mm-hmm. you know, people that had just moved here or had just come out. The first woman I dated after Nancy was in the process of divorcing her husband. And they were like best friends. You know, I'd be hanging out at her house, and when he got off work, he'd come over and sit, and the three of us would be sitting there watching the news together. And then he'd finally say, "Well, I guess I better get home. I'll see you later." And he'd go home to his girlfriend. You know, and she'd say, "Oh, yeah, yeah." She said, "We were married for years, but really, he's just my best friend." So that was Lydia. But it was never like it was before, because after that, I didn't really get into another established couple, mm-hmm. not for 10 years.
Were there any other organized groups that you were a part of in that time?
Let me think. No. No. Not really.
And kind of in those decades, 80s, 90s, do you feel like your community circle included like gay men? Or were you fairly set with a group of lesbians the whole time?
Mostly lesbians. I have had a few gay male friends here and there that, you know, never anything real close or bond. I recently, I had a gay male friend recently, these past few years, because we worked together, but he just passed away last year, so I don't have him anymore.
In your perception, how do you feel like the gay man and lesbian communities in Roanoke interacted over the years?
I don't know. I mean, I think it kind of depends on the people, but I've always seen that there seemed to be, you know, a lot of interaction between, at least friendliness between gay men and lesbians.
And then in the last 20 or so years, what's it been like dating, finding community, being gay in Roanoke?
I don't know, because I'm not a real social person myself. I aged out of the club. I mean, I stopped going before I was 40, and like I'm 66 now. I'm trying to remember. I think my ex-wife and I, when we got married, we went to the park once. And from what I understand, the park isn't what it used to be. It's not. I honestly don't understand how lesbians socialize now. It's like, where do y'all meet? How do you meet up? Or
what has your community, like, where have you been finding people in the last couple of years?
I haven't. There are the people that have been in my life forever. I mean, I've got Teresa that I've known for close to 50 years now. I got Anna that I've known for 35 years. I've known Donna for 25 years. And Teresa's wife, Allison's been on the scene for 30 years. And there's my ex-wife, who I've known for, I guess, 10 years. And that's it. It's just, but I used to have a lot more friends, but, you know, they die.
Yeah.
Nancy died last year. Big Ann's long gone. Lydia died. And then, you know, there's been a few that I've just kind of lost touch with. Used to have a whole lot more friends.
What do you think the future of gay community looks like in Roanoke? Whether for you or for the younger generation.
I have no idea. I don't really understand how it's done now. I mean, everything is online. It's like I'm dating online now, and I've done that before. I met two of my girlfriends online, but that was like 20 years ago. And there's good things about that, and there's bad things. The good thing is that you have privacy. Because, like, Big Ann couldn't have claimed me if I had met her on a dating site. You know, she wouldn't be able to interact with the other people and run the other women off. Like, dating sites, you have private conversations with people. When you met people at the park, it was like you were in a fishbowl. No privacy. And everybody's talking, and everybody knows what everybody is doing. So, you know, it's not all bad. It's like there's good and there's bad in that. But I don't really understand how it works now, like how younger lesbians, how they connect, how they, or do they even need to? I mean,
we can talk about that later. are there any things that you feel like I haven't asked you about that you're interested in talking about?
Let me think. Not really. You know, I feel like I ought to be able to contribute more to this, but I don't know. I could tell you about my marriage.
If you would like to.
Judy and I were the first same-sex couple to get a marriage license in Roanoke. Really? And we were on the 6 o'clock news. And if you Google my name, you can find a video of us being interviewed.
Oh, well, famous.
yes, that's what I've... And I was really shocked because every other place, people were, like, lined up at the courthouse and they were celebrating and it was like this big deal. We got to the courthouse and we just sat there in the car waiting for anybody else to arrive. We were the only ones. And I said, well, I guess everybody got married in another state. Well, we were getting ready to get married in another state. I mean, we were making the travel arrangements and everything, and suddenly it was announced that it was legal here. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, we don't have to go to Maryland. We can just go downtown. So that's what we did.
And you were on the 6 o'clock news for it.
Yes.
First yes. Same-sex marriage license in Roanoke.
Yes. Oh. And I felt funny about that because I felt like, I mean, we had been dating for a year. And here they were interviewing us, and I'm thinking, this shouldn't be us. This should be like one of these long-term couples, like a couple that's been together for 40 years and they're finally able to get that marriage license.
How long had you two been together at that point?
We've been for a year. I mean, we've been dating for a year, and, you know, we've been engaged. And, I mean, she started asking me, like, 2 months in to marry her. And I was like, no, I don't even know you. And then, like, time would go by, and she'd ask me again. And I go, no, I don't even know you. And then finally she said, when are you going to marry? And I said, okay, I'll marry you. So, yeah, but we had originally planned to go out of town and get married somewhere else where it was legal, because it wasn't legal here. We figured, well, eventually the ball would roll in this direction and then we'd already be married. And I think that's what a lot of women did. They just went somewhere else and got married. But to this day, I don't really understand why we were the only couple at the courthouse. And then I thought, well, maybe the others arrived later. I found out later that there were only, like, 3 other couples that day.
3 other same-sex couples or in general?
Same-sex. I mean, okay. Yeah, there were only like 3 other same-sex couples that showed up that day.
Well, I'll ask again. Is there anything else that I haven't asked about?
No, I don't guess so. I lived here for 40-some years, and I still feel like I'm not really from here, so I don't know anything about this place. But... you know, I came out in the 70s, and wow, that was a time to be a lesbian. I was dating this woman who actually came out in the 1950s, and she was living in rural North Carolina in the 1970s. She was actually passing as a man. She had took her girlfriend and their supposedly she was going to be losing her children for being gay. So she took her girlfriend and all the kids and moved to rural South Carolina, where she passed as a man, and everybody just thought they were a family. And she got a job managing a gas station. She managed to meet other lesbians in rural North Carolina because she subscribed to a newsletter. There were hundreds of them back then. And I asked her which one it was, and she couldn't remember. And I'm thinking, well, it might have been the Ladder or the Well or, you know, one of those. I don't know. She couldn't remember. But she said that she got a visit from the FBI because she was on that mailing list. But that's what I was saying about the 1970s. It was just all of the... It was like, I think it was like this lesbian explosion, and I'm sure it had been building up. You know, I'm sure like this started right after World War II. But the 70s is when like the whole club scene and these social networks were so strong and so explosive. I mean, like I said, as a teenager, I could go anywhere and meet other lesbians instantly. I miss the 70s.
What do you think changed that?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that social acceptance, it's like... I think that's part of it. But I also just think... that's where the world was then, that we had a lot of things were exploding, you know, like civil rights and, you know, people were getting feminism, you know, people were becoming conscious about things and people were like networking and we didn't have the internet yet. So we were actually out there talking to each other, you know, instead of like doing this.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like every time you turned around, there were like gatherings for this, that, or the other.
Now the internet has definitely changed the way a lot of people communicate.
I think that there's a whole lot less real life socializing. You know, because like when I went to Des Moines, I found like this instant lesbian community, but I also found other things there, like a food co-op where people were, you know, meeting up and exploring vegetarian cooking and, you know, this kind of, it's like, I don't know, I just don't see a lot of connection anymore.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I'm basically out of questions. So.
Okay.
It has been lovely interviewing you. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm going to turn this off now.